Is there anybody here that's concerned about the country, our nation? Anybody maybe concerned about the division in this country? Well, Jesus addresses division in Matthew 12. Let's look there, Matthew 12, verse 25. This is a scripture that Abraham Lincoln quoted during the Civil War. He's talking about the nation. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. And it says, "And knowing their thoughts," this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees, "and knowing their thoughts, he said to them, 'Any kingdom that is divided,'" this word divided means split up, divided into parties. Isn't that interesting? Divided into parties, divided into factions. "Any kingdom that is divided against itself is being brought to desolation and laid waste. And no city or house divided against itself will last or continue to stand." Division is from the enemy. You know, we talk about vision, having a vision, and without a vision, the people perish. Well, division is multiple visions. And for any group, any organization, you know, any family, any team, in order to move forward, you have to have one vision. You have to be in agreement. And so the enemy is going to do all he can to bring division. That's multiple visions. And so Jesus is saying here that if a house is divided, it will not stand, it will not last. Well, the Bible also talks about power and unity. And I just want to read one of the amazing psalms. It's really short, and I'm going to read it in the Message translation. But it talks about the power of unity. Psalm 133 in the Message. "How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessings, ordains eternal life." And we read all the time about one accord in the book of Acts. I think it's recorded one accord. And really what that means is one, being one, 11 times. And most of the time when it's mentioned, it has to do with God's power, God's blessings. It has to do with miracles. And so it was very important for the early church to be unified, to have one vision. And I know that's difficult to do in a country like that we have. We're not all of the same background and same culture, and we are a melting pot. And to have a vision, one vision for this nation, I mean, that's impossible. But we can't just say, okay, there's just going to be division and just let it go on and not respond to it. But there is power in unity. So you can see why the enemy would want to bring division, because he knows it's going to bring destruction. He's all about, you know, John 10:10, his mission, stealing, killing, and destroying. And that's certainly what he wants. He wants us to be fighting each other. He wants us to be suspicious of each other. He wants us to be afraid of each other. And then he certainly wants us to act on hatred with our words and our actions. We don't even realize, though, that our words are really more powerful. The words lead to actions. It starts with words. So the enemy, what he's trying to do, and it's not just in the United States, it's in all nations. You know, I've been able to travel in the world and see things. The enemy wants to bring division everywhere. And not only just in a nation, but in a state, in a city, in a school, on a team. And we can break it all the way down into a marriage and a family. He loves strife. He loves, you know, division. And so, you know, there's the question for all of us today. How are we going to respond? Are we helpless? Do we have no part in what's happening in this country or in this world? Are we just insignificant? Are we supposed to just take it, or do we just kind of go with the mob, you know, go with the news media, go with who's ever in, you know, whatever party's in office? I mean, how do we respond? I'm talking about the church, believers. Before we do anything, and I know we have issues with this today, even with people in the Good News Church, we have to go to the Word of God. But I know there's people here today even, and people, believers today, the Word is really not first place. How do I know that? Because of people's behavior. They'll do things that they know are against the Word, but because of culture, because that's what they want to do, and so they're really selective about what verses they want to follow. And so there's whole pages of the Bible they just kind of tear out. I hope you're not one of those kind of folks, because that's a recipe for disaster. That's deception. So we got to go to the Word of God to get our answers and seek God and listen to the Spirit of God. And so what does the Bible have to say about some of these things that's happening in this country? What is God's will for the United States? What is God's will for any nation? And what's God's will for the people that are living, say, in the United States? What's God's will for us? Well, a great place to start any discussion is found in 1 Timothy 2. So once you turn to that chapter, 1 Timothy 2. I haven't heard the news media talking about 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy 2, verse 1. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. So let's start with, I like to do backwards planning. You know what that is? Backwards planning is you have a goal in mind, and then you plan backwards of how you're going to reach that end. So I learned that a long time ago, backwards planning. Susie's smiling, talk about it in the family. But that's really a good way to look at things. And so let's do a little backwards planning here and talk about what does God want and desire for the nation. And then we'll kind of move backwards from there. How do we get there? Well, it says here, he wants us to live a quiet and peaceable life. That is the end result. That's what he wants for each one of us, a quiet and peaceable life. Now, this word quiet means a person who refrains from angry responses. How many know that anger can be dangerous? The Bible says not to be angry. It doesn't say don't be angry. It says be angry and sin not. The problem is not with our emotions. It's what we do with our emotions. And sin, a lot of times, is kind of lurking in anger, because you just get out there and you say and do things you don't intend to do, but in the moment, anger takes over. And the enemy likes to work in anger. I've talked to many people here, and they talk about how God has really helped them with their anger. Anybody here? You know, God's really helped you because you've made a lot of mistakes when you were angry. So be angry and sin not. So this word quiet, a person that refrains from angering responses, meaning not led by their emotions, a person who knows how to calm themselves and to maintain a state of peace. Now, I like this part right here. This person that's quiet and has a peaceful life, they're not a contributor to conflict, but a peacemaker. Didn't Jesus talk about that in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the peacemakers. We need some peacemakers today. We need people that will bring peace wherever they go. We need people that bring, that's really Jesus. That's really the life of God. That's really the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of peace. And so we need that. We need believers to stand up today and be who they're made to be and not just follow everybody else. And maybe the whole crowd's going this way. As believers, we may need to turn and go the other way. We need to follow Him, and we need God's strength. But we need to act biblically. We need to act according to the Word. The world's got its ways, and I think it's crept into the church. And we think that the world's ways somehow, you know, Bible, when it's not in the Bible. The world's ways are a trap, the Bible says. It's a snare. It leads to destruction. 1 Timothy 2:2 in the Amplified says this: for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. God wants us to have peace out here and peace in here. He's the Prince of Peace. God desires for this nation to be free to preach the gospel. We've been privileged here in the United States to be free to preach the gospel, to preach the gospel to the nations, to be able to use our finances and our resources to get the gospel to the nations. He wants us to be a nation where we can send people and support the work of the gospel. He wants us to be a nation where we can receive and distribute God's blessings freely, where the government doesn't interfere with God's blessings, and for us to distribute those blessings. Now, Paul wrote this at a time when Nero, who was crazy, was the emperor. So this is who Paul is talking about here, you know, the leader to pray for. Nero is the one that ultimately put Paul, that martyred Paul. Isn't that amazing? And so I will just say this to you today, and with all that's happening in the world, before you criticize, accuse, complain, grumble, protest, and whine. Nobody here, right? Before you do all that, do what the Bible says first. And then if you're led to do that, then you know, go ahead. But do what the Scriptures say first. And follow Him. So let's go through what Paul says. He's got basically 6 points here, and we'll go through them one by one. He's exhorting us to do this. He's strongly encouraging us to do this. One thing says he's begging us to do this. And you know this. When they were living too, they didn't have a chance to vote. It's just this is what was handed to us. So the first one is supplications. He says to supplicate. This word describes the attitude of one submitted to a king. When you had access to the throne of a king in the ancient world, it was a privilege. And so the person coming there would do it with respect and gratitude. And this is the kind of attitude we should have before we go to God. God is not the one to blame for what's happening in this nation. God is not the problem. So we need to come to Him with an expectancy, an attitude of faith. Come to Him as the one with the answers. He's got answers for us, but I don't know if we're listening or if we want to listen. A lot of our leaders are just clueless. And we'll get to that in a minute. But they don't know God. They don't know the Bible. But yet they're having to lead and make all these decisions that affect a lot of people. But we have to have, you know, looking to God. He's our source. The U.S. government is not our source. God is our source. And He's a good source. He's a good provider. The second thing Paul says for us to do is prayers. Now this word, it's the same word found in Acts 1 that they did in the upper room. This word prayers. It means an exchange or surrender. It's one who comes into the presence of God and consecrates. This is a word of consecration. Consecrates themselves to God, His word, and His will. The Bible says that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so when you come to God, you come with a humbleness and a humility that He's greater and we're lesser. And we miss it. We can get pretty arrogant in our beliefs and what we think. But we have blind spots. We can be deceived. But when you come to God, it's not about me and getting what I want. It's about what He wants. Lord, what is Your will? What do You want me to do? This is not about me and my selfish desires. And that's really what's happening today in this country. And you know, it's not just the United States. These political factions, it's all about self-interest. It's got nothing to do with the greater good. It's about what's in it for me. And a whole lot of people. And you know, when you come down to it, bottom line, it's about money. It's about money and making money. I find it interesting that CNN and Fox News and MSNBC are having record profits. They're rolling it in. And they love division. They love strife. And they like to stir it up. They like to stir it up when nothing's there. And make it into something. Now, I grew up in the days of, you know, tremendous respect for the news, NBC, ABC, CBS. I mean, you watch that like gospel. You know, I'm talking about in the 70s, maybe 80s. I mean, you had a reverence for these news media people. And you listen and you know... And again, I know they had, I was younger, I didn't know they had their slants, but they tried to accurately portray the news. That's not happening today. There's agendas. And so when you're sitting there just absorbing those things, those commentators, there's an agenda. Television, they want to tell you their vision. And you know, whatever you put in your heart, it's going to affect you. I don't think the news media, and again, I'm not saying, I know there's some good people there. I don't think the news media is interested in unity. I don't think they're interested in us coming together, because if there was just peace and harmony, they'd have no news to report. They like a good disaster. And so we haven't had a major disaster in a while. And so they've got to stir it up. And so they're looking for situations, searching to and fro in this country for some kind of situation they can magnify and stir it up. because that generates news. But what's behind all that? And again, the love of money. Now, this is not an excuse for bad behavior on a lot of people. I'm not, condoning anything that people are doing that's against the Word of God. But I'm just saying that it's not being helped. There's other forces at work here. And so we need to go before God and say, what is your will? What do you want? Great, Grayson, bring me one of those green chairs up here, will you? Frank, come on up here. I just can't let you just sit there, Frank. I'm sorry, man. I'm picking on you. Frank, you kind of have like a kingly, let's turn it this way. You got kind of a kingly look to you. Now, let's just say Frank is my king. You believe that, don't you? Frank is my king. And years ago, this is what they do. I learned this in Nigeria from a guy that's an expert on revivals around the world. And he was talking about consecration and submitting yourself to God. And he had this, he actually had a picture. I wish I had that. But it was of a king in his royal robes and had the crown, and he's in the big chair. And one of his subjects, maybe a knight, or one of his subjects was coming before him. And this is what they did beforehand. And so I just really made, it impacted me and really helped me with consecration, because in these meetings in Nigeria, there was a lot of consecration. But what they would do is the subject would kneel down, and actually they did it on two knees. They would kneel down and they would bow their head and they'd put their hands out like this. Now, Frank, put your hands around my hands. Put them like that right there. And so what the subject would say is, I'm your man. I will do whatever you ask me to do. I will go where you tell me to go. It is about your will. It is about your plan. I am here to serve you, and I will serve you to the death. I give my life to you. That's powerful. Isn't that amazing, Frank?
Yes, it is.
You're a good king. Good job, man. Thank you, sir. I don't know. That's just some honor there. That's a heart deal. And, I think, we used to teach on honor a little bit more here. Maybe we need to get back to some of that teaching on honor. I think it's coming kind of lost. It's just so easy just to be flippant in our words and what we say about people and tearing people down. There's a whole lot in the Bible about honor. And maybe that's, maybe I'll get back to that. I'll get my notes back out. People say about me, I'm honor, duty, country kind of person. One God, one church, one woman. I'm a one-woman man. That's the woman right there. I'm not looking for any other women. But just, consecration, submission to God. Then so you've come in with that right attitude, and you've come into God's presence with consecrate yourself. Then it talks about the prayer of intercession. The prayer of intercession is an appeal to God on behalf of someone else. We like to say you're standing in the gap for somebody. You're standing in the gap for someone that's unable to pray for themselves because they don't know how to pray for themselves. They may be a novice. They may be a government leader who has weak spiritually, that's making unwise decisions, that's negatively affecting the masses. They need someone to intercede for them. And because you have consecrated yourself to God, you're in a better position to pray for people without a selfish agenda and the wrong attitude. Now, one thing, we teach a lot about authority here, but we don't realize the authority we have. I'm talking about you. And certainly when we gather together, that authority increases. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. There's a lot of authority. We have tremendous authority. We don't realize that. And authority is released in our words. Let's look over in Genesis 18. And I wasn't going to just quote this to you, but I feel like I need just to read it to you. Genesis 18 and verse 22. This is where God's talking to Abraham about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. And look what so God, this is amazing. God's consulting with Abraham. Abraham is his man in the earth. So Genesis 18, verse 22. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. Talking about the angels. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near to God's presence and said, "Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered." He got that. All right, let's keep on going here. "And said, indeed, now I who am but dust and ashes have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for the lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him again and said," I mean, this is negotiations going on here. "And he spoke to him again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let's not be angry, Lord. Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed, now I've taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. And so he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So Abraham, he knew Lot's family and the people, you know, in his household. And so he knew, you know, there should be more than 10 righteous. Abraham went away pretty confident. But we know the story, there weren't 10. So that city went down. But I find it interesting that God consulted with the man about what he was going to do in the earth. And this is a man that wasn't filled with the Spirit and wasn't under the new covenant and didn't understand all the things that we know about righteousness and who we are in Christ and all these different things. But yet God's consulting him. What authority this man had. And so I would say to you today that you have been given authority. Your words matter. What you do matters. What you pray matters. What you speak over this nation, what you speak over this city, what you speak over your family matters. And the enemy is trying to keep the church silent, because he knows the authority that we've been given, and he's afraid of you. So we need to stand in the gap. We need to go to the Word, launch our prayers from the platform of God's Word, and pray and intercede. Then there's the prayer of thankfulness. Number 4. This is an overflowing grateful heart. It is hard to complain and be thankful at the same time. Can we be thankful for this country? Is there anything to be thankful for? Is there anything to be thankful for about our leaders? Now, I've been critical at times of just of certain things about our nation. And I've been critical, I'll just be honest, of the Atlanta airport. The Atlanta airport, it's the busiest airport in the world. And they make mistakes. And they've made mistakes with me. And so I can kind of a bad attitude about the Atlanta airport and some, you know. But I'll tell you what, I went to Nigeria in the spring, around Easter. And I went there and I had a really, really bad airport experience. And I came back to Atlanta and I'm telling you, I wanted to get to kiss the ground. I wanted to kiss every airport worker, male or female. I mean, it was like Disneyland. I mean, it was amazing how well this airport was run. And so I appreciate it because I was in a place, and no offense to any other nation, but we're blessed. We are so blessed. And again, we're not better, but we were in Nigeria. There was driving on the main road to the meetings that we would go on every day. There was three lanes going this way and three lanes coming that way. A lot of traffic going both ways. Well, we come out of the meeting one night, and I notice that we're over in the far lane. And then I notice that the two lanes in our area are going the other way. People had gone over, they didn't like just the three lanes, and they don't necessarily drive in the lanes. It's more like four or five lanes in three lanes. But they had come over to our side of the road, took over two of the lanes. Now they had five and we just had one. Then in the middle of that, you have cars wanting to get across and they're just coming across. I mean, I'm just praying in tongues the whole way. You don't know what you have. And again, it's no excuse for bad behavior or bad service, but you don't know what you've got until you go somewhere else and realize what you've got. We are blessed. Even with all the craziness and all the mistakes and all the corruption and all the attempts of the enemy to divide us, we are blessed people just by living in the United States. And we should have an attitude of gratefulness to God for his blessings. And I'm a student of history. I need to move along here. I've read over 40 books, which you'd find so boring, some of these books. 40 books on the Revolutionary War period. 15 books maybe on the Civil War. And different. I was a history major in college. I love history. We don't know what crisis is. Again, no excuse for anything as bad as happening. We've been on the brink. I mean, within a battle of this country going down. And if it wasn't for God's intervention and people praying, we would be divided. We'd be 50 countries. We'd be like Europe. And God has intervened so many times because people prayed. Because the church was the church and they knew their authority. And again, it doesn't make, even when, you know, a battle was won, it doesn't mean everything was perfect. It's never going to be that way as long as there's a devil in this world. You're not going to have perfection. But what can God do? And to me, this is all a battle about the gospel. Yeah. To me, that's how I look at it. I want the government to stay out of the way so we can preach the gospel. We're free to do that. Go to nations. I was in Nigeria. They have there because of the some extremist groups in northern Nigeria. They've got pastors being killed right now. They've got buildings being burned down. Congregations being harassed. We're not dealing with that. There's a guy that I know that I met on the trip. He's the head of a missions agency in Nigeria. Just a really sweet man. This man was traveling on one of his missions trip, pulled over by these extremists. They killed the people in the car in front of him. Killed them all. Shot them. So he witnessed that. He and his wife and their driver. Shot bullets in their car. But they took him because they knew he was somebody. Kidnapped him. And, you know, the wife just saw all that. You know, this is in their nation, driving around in their nation, doing gospel work. They paid a $40,000 ransom and got him back. The church, not only Nigeria, but over the world, came together and got the money together and ransomed it, you know, paid the ransom. $40,000. But he was shaken. I knew him before the kidnapping. He's shaken. His wife is definitely shaken. You know, counting the cost. I don't know if we want to do this anymore. So again, it's no excuse for what's happening here. I'm not trying to make excuses. Bad things are happening. People are doing bad things. But the church doesn't need to go with everybody else. We're called out to be separate. We're to be different. We're to be peacemakers. We're to walk in our authority. We got power over the devil. He can't come into our city and come into our house and come into our neighborhood and wreak havoc. We won't let him do that. And every once in a while, he maybe get in. We let our guard down. But I mean, this here, if this church came together and did this, what could we do together? Again, if one puts 1,000 to flight, the Old Testament says, two puts 10,000. 10 times the power. So us coming together, our power increases. You see why God wants to divide a church? You see why he wants to bring division here? And again, we make mistakes. Again, no excuse for not doing things right. We make mistakes. And we want to get better. But he certainly wants to bring offense. He wants to bring gossip. He wants to bring petty little things. He wants to divide us. Prayer for all people. This includes the rich, the poor, Republicans, Democrats, independents, all races, all education levels. If there is a person you can't pray for, it reveals a part in you that you haven't let God fully transform you. If there's someone you can't pray for, so let his love continue to work on you and change your heart. Now we get to the prayer. So the first one, I'll just go through them real quick. The first one was supplication, your attitude, going before God, prayers of consecration, prayers of intercession, standing in the gap, prayers of thanksgiving, prayer for all people. We need to be spirit-led, prayer for all people. And then prayer for our government officials is the last one. Now, if anybody needs prayer, it's our government officials. Because first of all, why would you want the job in the first place? You must be crazy. Why would you want to be president? Why would you want that job? But our government officials, they need a lot of prayer. And it says not just to pray for the ones we voted for. The believers in the New Testament, they didn't have the right to vote. Their prayers were their votes. I still remember back in 1989, I think that's the right date, when the wall came down. Remember? In East and West Germany, that wall that separated. I was watching the news then. And it was interesting because the commentator was talking, but I could hear them singing in the background. They were singing a hymn, praising God. A big group of people knocking down the wall, singing a hymn, praising God. So that tells me that believers were a part of that wall coming down. And we know about some of Brother Hagin's books. We know the people that got those books in there. But got the believers' authority into East Germany, into the pastors and the churches, they started learning about their authority, and they started speaking to that wall, and they told it to come down. That mark, that influenced me. We have authority. We've been given authority. Matthew 28 is when it was delegated to the church. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then what did he say to the church? Go. And when he said go, he authorized us. That authority he's been given, he's given it to us, given it to the church to be his representatives, to be his ambassadors. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody say that. I am a minister of reconciliation.
I am a minister of reconciliation.
Does a minister of reconciliation, an ambassador for Christ, go around and gossip about people? Do they go around and tear people down? Are they critical of everybody and anything? No, they are a minister, they are a servant of reconciliation, and their job is peacemaker. Their job is to bring people together, and the ultimate job is to bring people to Christ. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what he wants to do in the earth. That's what it's all about. But it's so easy to get sidetracked into stupid things. But say, stupid. The world's ways don't work. Have you not figured that out? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. So I'm going to look to him. I'm not looking to Washington, D.C. But I am doing what it says here, praying for government officials. Praying for the nation, praying for our state, praying for our city. I want to live a peaceful and quiet life. I want to be able to live in a country where I can fulfill my calling without hindrance from the government or any groups. I want to be able to walk in the blessings, the full blessings, and to be able to distribute those blessings all throughout the earth. Part of my calling is to distribute all to the nations. I want to live in a country that way. So what I'm saying to you is to be a hearer and doer of the word. Do these six things first, and then do what the Spirit of God tells you. Then if he tells you to go ahead and be critical, if he tells you to protest, if he tells you, you might want to talk to me first, because I don't know if you're hearing from the Spirit of God. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe he will inspire you to do something. But it's not going to kill somebody. It's not going to hurt somebody. It's not going to be cussing people out. It's not going to be burning any businesses. Yeah, come on, Susie.
I just want to share this. This is reminding me of this. On Friday morning, we got a message from our oldest daughter, Maddie Sue. Maddie Sue is a special analyst and works for the city administrator of city manager of Durham, North Carolina. I don't know if you're aware of it, but this week in Durham, they were in the news because the statue that was right in front of Maddie's office, a young woman knocked it over or something. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but the statue came down, and so then that young lady was arrested. And so in the city of Durham is very much, Maddie says it's a lot like Augusta, actually, as far as the racial division that they've had in their city. And then, and she works for it. Maddie's interesting because she's our daughter, so she's pretty light. And she's married to a black man. And so she's kind of in a real interesting sort of a situation there sometimes. And she was concerned because Friday morning they get a message. The chief of police comes over to their office and says, hey, we're on high alert because we have, heard that the KKK is coming down to march right out in front of the city hall here where you are, and because of what had happened with the statue. And then there's another group of protesters that are organizing over here on the other side of the city, and they're going to come down. And both groups are really volatile, and they're going to come down, and there's going to be something bad happen right out here in front of City Hall. So we're on high alert. And so they organized. They went out through the downtown, told the businesses shut down. Everybody was leaving to go home. Maddie said, people here are anxious beyond what you can imagine. And, what is about to happen right out here on the sidewalk in front of my office. And so this is going on, so she's sending us messages, can you just pray with me? And so I, of course, when I got the first message, I sent her back a message, and I reminded her what Ephesians tells us, that we aren't wrestling with flesh and blood. But there are some principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world that are behind this, that's going down. There's something more that's happening here. Because you just think of that. Economy, commerce is being shut down. There's division. There's fear everywhere. And people are looking suspiciously at each other. And Maddie said the atmosphere that it creates, just even in the office, people who work together, who know each other, who are friends, people who even love each other, and they're looking at each other suspiciously like, what side are you on of this? What are you doing? It just brings so much division. And so I sent Maddie a message, and I reminded her, I said, this is not about flesh and blood. This is something else, which is really good because you can't do much about flesh and blood. But when it comes to the rulers of the darkness, you have authority. And because particularly this is happening in your city, and particularly this is happening in front of your office, a city where you have a position of authority, you stand up and you take your authority that you have. And so Maddie spent the morning taking her authority, and we would get updates throughout the day of what was going on. And about 2:00, Maddie said, for some reason, the KKK decided not to come. And some other folks that were going to protest the KKK, a few of them came down, they looked around, nothing was going on. The whole thing came to nothing, no protest, no anything happened. And it went from 8:00 that morning, they were thinking they were about to be the news for the weekend for all the wrong reasons, to nothing happened. Because, people, God's people were praying. And people who knew about their authority were taking authority. So don't tell me that we can't do anything. Taking your spiritual authority is more important than holding up a sign. It's more important what we do in the realm of the spirit than what we do in the flesh. Not to say people shouldn't use their natural authority, for sure. That's why Paul wrote this and said, we need to pray for those who do have natural authority to be wise and to use it in the way that will bring about the best end for all of us, which is the gospel being preached, which is people coming to know what verse 5 talks about, the one mediator between God and man. That's what we all need. That we know that's the answer, is the change of heart. Not a rule to keep people in the, you know, proper order. We need to change of heart. But that is just a testimony to what Pastor Matt's been saying this morning, that if God's people will use their authority, we can make real change and we can make a difference in just doing what we know, using the authority that we have in the name of Jesus as his representatives here to do what he's told us to do.
You know, it's... Let's talk about the last days, and I was just reading that in Matthew 24, and it says there, the love of many will grow cold. That word love is the word agape love, which is the church love. It's not human family love. It's the church. That's a church word. And so it says in the last days, the love of, so I was talking about church people growing cold. Are we going to let that happen here? We're going to let it come in here?
No.
We're going to let strife and division come in here?
No.
We give this book out to everybody that's a new member at Good News Church. And I want to read, and it's a book of prayers based on Scripture. We talk about launching your prayers based on the platform of God's Word. And, you know, it has prayers of commitment, prayers to the Father, prayers for the needs and concerns of individuals, prayers for the needs and concerns of the single, divorced, and widowed, prayers for the needs and concerns of marriage, you know, so it just has all these different areas. I want to read the one about the American government as we're closing right now. And so I want to encourage you, if you've got these, to pull these out. And again, just as you don't have to read these things, but I mean, you could look at the scriptures and maybe take some of it. But it says, Father, in Jesus' name, we give thanks for the United States and its government. We hold up in prayer before you the men and women who are in positions of authority. We pray and intercede for the president, the representatives, the senators, the judges of our land, the policemen and the policewomen, as well as governors and mayors, and for all those who are in authority over us in any way. We pray that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon them. We believe that skillful and godly wisdom has entered into the heart of our president, and knowledge is pleasant to him. Discretion watches over him, understanding keeps him and delivers him from the way of evil and from evil men. Father, we ask that you compass the president about with men and women who make their hearts and ears attentive to godly counsel and do what is right in your sight. We believe that you cause them to be men and women of integrity and are obedient concerning us, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. We pray that the upright shall dwell in our government, that men and women blameless and complete in your sight, Father, that you shall remain, that there shall reign in these positions of authority, but the wicked will be cut off from our government, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. Your word declares that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We receive your blessing. And then it goes on. That's a good thing. These are some good things. There's a kind of a pattern for us to follow. So let's stand. And I want to close in prayer about this nation. And I want to pray for this city. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just come before you today, and I bow before you, Father, concerning this nation. This nation was raised up to send the gospel to the earth, send missionaries, send resources, send equipment. And Lord, I thank you, Father, we're not going to lose that calling. We'll walk in that fully. And so we just declare right now in the name of Jesus that the government will be an aid and a help for that. Our leaders, Father, men and women, that they'll surround them with godly influence, surround them with people that will give them wise counsel, that they'll not be influenced by money and by people with selfish motives, Father. That they'll listen to you and follow you, and that they'll have righteous decisions. So we pray that for our Congress. We pray that for our Supreme Court. All of our leaders, state and local. Father, that they'll have wisdom to know what to do to bring unity in this country. That they'll have a vision that's godly, a vision that's has the intention that you desire for us, Father. So I thank you, Father. I pray for the church in the United States especially, that we'll stand up and be the church, that we'll walk in our authority, be who we're meant to be. We'll not back down, we'll not compromise, we'll not draw back, we'll not give up, we'll not quit, we'll not grow weary. But Father, I pray about this city, Augusta and the surrounding area, that this will be an area known for racial harmony. This will be an area known for unity. This will be an area known for churches coming together. This will be an area known for the preaching of the gospel, Father, training center. People can come to the knowledge of the truth. So thank you, Father. You're raising up young people, Father, that will follow you. Young people that will know how to lead. And we take authority over the devil that would try to come into this city and bring division and strife. We bind you. You are under our feet. You are defeated. You have no place here. And if there is corruption, Father, in our government here, Father, that you'll bring it to light and they'll be dealt with in a just manner. But I thank you, Father. I thank you for this church. I know we have a unique place in this city because of our understanding of the word and our understanding of authority. I pray that we may walk in the fullness of that calling. And the people of Good News Church will walk in the fullness of the calling that's been placed upon them. And they will walk in their authority. And I just speak over the people of this church. They are peacemakers. They are ministers of reconciliation. They are ambassadors for Christ. They walk in that agape love. And if they miss it, they repent. They don't use their words to hurt others. They're not people of gossip and envy and jealousy and strife. They don't bring division. They bring healing. So, Father, we pray that we walk in that leadership that you've given to us. And that this would be an example of racial harmony. Father, that we would get to know each other, the diverse groups that are here in this church, that we would listen to each other, get to know each other, try to understand each other, have meals together. A place where we really care about each other and we model this love, that they would know that we're your disciples by our love one for another. So I'm asking for your help, Father, for your wisdom in this hour, that we would be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Thank you, Father, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.